Marebra Boisai, lessons from the lay Parshas Chukas. We always have to remember that in Eretz Yisrael, they are on the right Parsha, Balak. We should be zoiche to catch up, as we will in Emir Tzashem in a few weeks, but a lesson that hopefully relates to everyone here and everybody listening in Wayu Torah land, especially when we are starting to focus, of course, on our summer. And our summer is usually a different time for everyone. Parshas Chukas, and really Parshas Balak as well, is startling because of how the Jews act. And it is not for us to question the Jews, but they seem to get their title of complainers. They're complaining all the time, right? And every few Parshas, we have this difficulty. And certainly in Parshas Balak, we experience Bnei Yisrael, unfortunately, at the worst, where they're going to be cursed, they're going to be cursed, they're going to be cursed, and we think good things about, and then, of course, at the end of the Parsha, we find them doing horrible, horrible arayas. And in our Parsha, after we learn about this wonderful tradition of Jews being metame themselves, to be metare other people, you say, wow, this is great, achdus, this is wonderful. We then learn, once again, about the Jews complaining. The pasuk tells us that Bnei Yisrael complained that they didn't have mayim. The pasuk says, "Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim u'moshe, lama li sonu mitzrayim lamus bamidbar." Again, they're going to die again. Bamidbar ki ein lechem. There is no bread, and there's no mayim. V'navshenu v'itnatshenu katsa belechem. How cute, cool. It's not sustainable. We have nothing. So many of the Farshim pick up on this and say, what do you mean you have nothing? You have the greatest thing that God invented in food, man, right? Sometimes when you go into the dining room and we have some food and we wonder, what is this food? What is it, right? Somebody asked me, what's inside of the, I don't know if you had, there were two types of potato knishes on Friday. So one of them, people didn't know what was inside. It was very straight. I said, it's mun. Inside is mun. Whatever you want it to be. It's cheese. Okay, you like cheese? Cheese breakfast, fine. You know, potato breakfast. Doesn't matter. Bnei Yisrael had that. Not only did they have that, Rashi tells us that during the entire Midbar experience of mun, they didn't go to the bathroom. There was no psoilus. How can you complain? Very strange. So, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya. The Rabbeinu Bachaya comments on this pasuk and he says, "Leisha Tomeya, the halo, Haman Haya Yored Lam, Bechol Yom V'Yom," like we just said. 40 years they got the divine man. What are they complaining? What do you mean there's no Lechem Amayim? What? The Gam Riboy Hamayim Hayalam, Mineis Hasla. Right? Well, of course, learned in the Parsha, famously, the hitting of the rock, they had plenty. Now Miriam, of course, passes away in our parsha, and we learn that Misa Sadikim is like a kapara, and Miriam, and they had no water. Water reminds us of Torah. Aval zehaita. So, what was Tulunatam? What was their complaint? Amru hine. He says, our lives are mishuna. Ein lanu lechem u'mayim kasher ha'umos ki shara umos. We're not like the goyim. Baruch Hashem. We're not like the Goyim. What do you mean we're not like the Goyim? Im hayu zachin, hayu chayvim lahem, right, lechel lesova. What happened when it came to the man? Rabbi, you say, it doesn't matter what's going on there. It doesn't matter. Look at me. What happened with the man? It depended who you were. If you were a stark yid, you opened up the door in the morning, the man was right there. Skoyach. If you weren't so stark over Shabbos, Sunday morning, right, you would have to go get your bagels, you have to go a little farther away. Right? We'll walk a little bit farther away. What do the Goyim have? The Goyim, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, had Walmart. What do you do when you go to Walmart? I have, Baruch Hashem, two kids that were born in Eretz Yisrael. So both of them had never been to America until we made the huge mistake of coming after 8 years of living in Eretz Yisrael, of coming to Camp Mizora. And so it was our first experience was literally going to the Walmart here. And my at the time, my older, Yonatan, who's now 12, he says to me, Abba, what is going on in America? Everything's big in America, right? In Walmart, you can't buy, say, I want a bottle of water. No, you have to get 40 waters, right? You have to get the big cheeses, the big cheese balls, the big, you know, all your snacks that you have here with the peanuts and everything. Yeah, you have to have everything. And he says, Abba, let's be honest here. It's not just the food that's big, the people. I don't know if this Walmart, everybody, look, we happen to be, when I tried to start a Kolo a few years ago here, my first year here, before the successful Kobe Kolo, right? So there was a boy that came, he happened to be a little, a Baal Busser. And he said to me, Rabbi, he was from England, Rabbi, I'm so happy to go to the Walmart. I'm one of the skinniest people there. You know, he was a big guy. Dude. Everything's big. They always had, there was no Shiloh. They were Costco Goyim. Right? Costco would never work in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, we have no room. But nobody would think that I need a ketchup that's 94 ounces. It wouldn't even fit in my little Israeli refrigerator. They had. So what is Rabbeinu Bechai getting? So what? Because he said, what happens? Ki ya'umas ha'olam nifkoshim. Right? Sometimes they have food, sometimes they don't. But they know where to get the food. But this made us rely on only one person. Kol nimshachim, right? Everything goes after schar voinish. B'nai Yisrael realized God knows exactly what you did last night, and that's where your mother's going to fall. I got to be a good boy every day. The Jews didn't like that. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, similar to this idea. He says, Hagam sheyodu shekol hanoigim hi al pi Hashem. They recognized it wasn't coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem controlled the world. You know what they had to do, says Orach Chaim? They had to look up in the morning and say, thank you, Hashem. I didn't have to get this divine food. Thank you. So delicious. They didn't like that. They had to know Das Koinoi. They had to know what was going on. Chassam Soifer says similar to this idea. He points to Rashi. Rashi says they realized that there was going to come a time because they saw the Goyim. And we'd be certainly affected by that with Amalek. What was the idea? That there would be a concept of psoilus. There would be a concept one day of food that would be pure gashmius. We have something called Shabbos, which is so unbelievable. Because the food doesn't affect us on Shabbos the same way that it affects us during the week. Right? You can go and, you can be like me and go from Kiddush to Kiddush. Right? I came here to come to the Kiddush, and you just served herring. And I was like, where's the food? I have a farkas. Where's the food? Oh, they're having it for lunch, chutzpah. I didn't get the poppers. Okay, obviously I stole one. But you could be but it's Shabbos. Kula ruchnis. And then all of a sudden, comes Sunday morning, and the guy goes to Papagayos. And he eats, and he eats, and he eats, and he's over probably d'orices of achilas gasa. And he has psoilus. It's gashmius. Jews lived in the Midbar, kula ruchnis. And they said, uh-oh. There's going to come a time where we're going to have the challenge of Gashmius. Says the Ravon Sholem, says the Chassam Sofer. Yeah, that's real life. That's called real life. That everything that we do in our lives comes from the Ravon Sholem. That is called real life. It's hard. It's a challenge. Chassam Sofer almost uses it not like the Rabbeinu Bechai and the Orach Chaim in the negative, but in a positive almost. They were like, I don't know if we could do this. The Goyim have Psoilus. They have Gashmius. Some say that was the whole chait of the Meraglim. The Meraglim were good people at their core. But they recognized that the Jews were living the greatest life ever. They didn't have to. You go, I don't know if you've experienced this yet. You're going to experience the laundry system in Camp Masorah, or Rachmana Litzlan. Right? Right? I hope you brought a lot of socks because you're only going to get back 50%. You know? It's hard. And they didn't do laundry. The laundry grew on them. Every morning they woke up for breeze. Everything was great. They got taller, their shirts got... It was amazing. But real life, the Rabbanu Shalom was teaching him, is Eretz Yisrael. Real life are the thorns. Real life is the Shemitah year, where all you do is look up to the Rabbanu Shalom. There's an amazing story that I heard from Rav Shai Shechter. A few weeks ago, there was a woman farmer who came to the Young Israel Woodmere to present for the Keren HaShviyas what her life is like. Right? So obviously, you got to bring the woman farmer to the Young Israel Woodmere because it's so cool. And of course, she could speak English perfectly. And she comes in and she tells her story. And she says that the Pasuk says that this is a hard year. But it's a hard year for the farmers because they're sitting there and chalishing that they can't do. She says, my husband wakes up in the morning and sees all the weeds in the farm. And he says, if I just had 5 minutes, if I could just pick up the weeds for 5, I can tell you something in my own very little small garden that I have. Baruch Hashem, I have this chus of doing the mitzvah satulius ba'aretz. So it's very hard. My wife said before we went to camp, she's like, you're going to leave the garden like this? It's so ugly. And I was going mikan lakan, asking different poskim, what can I do? What are you allowed to do? Why every single gardener in Ramat Beit Shemesh knows what to do? And I don't know, but everything seems to be clean and fine, and my house looks hard. Okay, maybe I don't know the halachas sufficiently. But to spend time, said this woman farmer, where you have to, for a year, rely on the Rabbanah Shoyla. Wow! I'll tell you another story that just came to mind. Such an awesome story. This Keren HaShvi'i it's unbelievable what they do every 7 years. They get more and more people in Eretz Yisrael to keep Shemitah Kehilchasa. So one of the great shuls in Brooklyn, Rabbi Reisman Shul, they call the Keren HaShvi'i, we want one of your speakers to come in. And one of the typical farmers, he walks into shul, you know, he's like Shabbos, he's wearing shorts, and one of the we call them temple hats, one of the, right, he's like typical farmer, he's got like the wheat stalk, you know, in his mouth, he's like, you know, hey, what do I talk about? He said, tell your story. So he says, I'll tell you my story from 7 years ago. It's a tremendous story. He said, the Keren HaShvi'is came, and they said they're going to help me. Da, 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 da. I said, okay, I'll do it. He said, I can't tend to the farm the whole... No, you can't. So it was very difficult for me. I woke up every morning, and I literally saw my crop dying every year. So Reisman says, okay, now tell everybody, obviously there's a great end game. Tell us the story. What happened in the 8th year? It goes, oh, in the 8th year, I lost my entire farm. Everything died. Everything dried up. It was terrible. I wasn't a farmer anymore. He's like, yeah, that's not a good story. Kaddish, you know. He says, yes, my farm, Kaddish, yes. So he says, why did they bring you here? He says, oh, I think I know why they brought me here. You know why they brought me here, I think? Because during that year, I never learned Torah before. I was learning Torah. And one of the rabbis said to me, "Nu, is what do you want from the Rabbanu Shalom? Ask the Rabbanu Shalom for anything." He says, "I'll be honest with you. My wife and I are married for 28 years, and we don't have any children. We can't have children. I can't even ask for it because it's not medically possible. Just ask for it." And he said, "Right after the Shemitah year, we had a baby." So I realized, I go, "Oh, that's a good story. He's not a farmer anymore. He had a baby." Sometimes we ask the Rabbanu Shalom for something, and he moves it to another way. But when we rely on the Rabbanu Shalom, when we look up at the Rabbanu Shalom, he provides us. We don't often see that because maybe it's moved over. Right? Imagine that Nebuch, that you know, kid sitting in the teens now, who davens to the Rabbanu Shalom, he comes to the Kobe Cola with you guys, and you sit with him and you tell him, we're about to daven Meirav, you should daven for anything you want. And he's like, great. I daven that tonight at the canteen. I should be zoicha to find the greatest girl. And I'll be able to do kiruv, but in a different level. The Rabbanu Shalom is going to answer that tefillah. The Rabbanu Shalom says, it was so sincere. I'm going to move the tefillah somewhere else. He doesn't know that. Rabbi Bitterman tells the story. I love Rabbi Bitterman. Rabbi Bitterman tells the story about, afterwards I'll tell you my Rabbi Bitterman story when he came to Rabbi Shemesh. Remind me. So Rabbi Bitterman tells a story about an individual, Shabbos, she's sitting in the women's section, as women should do, but it's upstairs, the balcony, and her kid's playing with her sitter, and the kid takes the sitter and says, this is cool, Rimon, and throws it over, and it falls down, and it's a real religious shul, she can't see what's going on, so after shul is over, she says, let's go, you know, they wait till all the men leave, and she says, let me go get my sitter. And as she's looking around for the sitter, shockingly, she can't find the sitter. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to her, who clearly looks like a Baal Tshuva, and he says, are you looking for this? Like, yeah. She says, I got to tell you the craziest story. He says, I'm a Baal Tshuva, and I can't daven without, some people can daven without, I can't daven without a sitter. And I came into shul, I was a little bit late, there were no siddurim. I didn't know what to do. I looked up to Hashem, I said, Hashem, please, I came to daven, please provide me with, boom, I got a sitter in my hand. So Hashem loves me. She's like, wow, it's a great story. Doesn't always happen that way. Rabbi Bitterman tells another story about an individual who decides, you know what, one day he has this feeling for his son. He's not the greatest father in the world. Doesn't normally buy. He says he never bought his kid a toy in his life. He says, you know what, my son's being good in school. I'm going to go. He goes into a store and he buys a Playmobil, whatever, police car. He comes home, and his wife's like, what? It's like, yeah, you know what? He's a good kid. I was driving by a toy store. She's like, this is the craziest story. She said, I'm sitting with my son, and we're davening for. I was davening for a specific cholo, and I'm heartfelt to Tehillim. And my son is saying to me, Mom, what are you davening? What are you davening for? So and so in our community is very, very sick. And the phone rings, and the person who's sick calls and says, thank you so much for your tefillos. I got better. And the son says, that's the power of tefillah? He's like, yeah, you ask the Rabbanu Shalom for whatever you want. He's like, really? And he starts screaming, Hashem, please provide me the Playmobil police. And the father comes home with it two minutes later, right? Okay, obviously tefillah doesn't always work like that. But says the Chavetz Chaim, what was the point that B'nai Yisrael was listening to in the Mitzrayim? The Pasuk tells us, as we of course say in the Haggadah, Parshas Kisavoy, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. They scream. What happens when you scream? When you scream, you rely on nobody else but Hashem. We often, unfortunately, the way that we're made up, we rely on other people. We rely on other people. And we say, well, if it works, the doctors, right? You should do Ishtanos. Of course I'm going to go to the best possible doctor. But we rely on the doctor and not the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's terrible. That's the vort. We have to rely on the Rebbeinu Shalom, says the Chafetz Chaim. And that's how your tefillah is listened to. When you look about Hashem and say, wow! And that's why, what was the chait? Of the snakes. They all got bitten by the snake, and so then they make this one snake, and what does it make you do? It makes you look up to Shemayim. I may be wrong about this, I probably am. But I find it very interesting that when you watch a sports game, and they score a touchdown in baseball, right? When they score a touchdown, or the guy's running around the bases, or whatever, what does he do a lot of times? Right? Or he'll kneel down, right? The touchdown, you're going to get a penalty or not, whatever. And he'll kneel down and he'll do a cross or something. He'll do something and be like, whoa, he's a from a Yid or from a Christian, whatever. So maybe I'm wrong and it comes from a bad... I think it's something to look at and to say, he does it? Do we do that? Please don't use the cross. I'm not saying use. Do we after... Well, some of you guys play a little sports or something. Last year there was some wiffle ball, but you play. You get it? You know how bad you are, right? And you score, right? And you're like, thank you, Hashem. Why would... Tefillah is a wonderful thing. Three times a day, the greatest thing the Rabbanu Shalom invented, but even better than that, is tefillah that's not tefillah. It's thanking Hashem. I told you the story on Friday. I lost the watch band I bought for my wife, blah, blah, blah. I dove into the Rabbanu Shalom. I didn't do Rav Meir Balanes, but I found it. But the moment I found it, I said, thank you, Hashem. It's going to make my Shabbos amazing. I mean, my wife doesn't like it, but it doesn't matter. Rav Cheskel Levenstein tells in a great story. Rav Bitterman repeats the story a lot. It's shidduch time, and the way that it works in the Haredi world, maybe in other worlds, you have to give a dowry for the girl. So the chassan gets engaged, and now they have the maso maton. What are you going to give? An apartment? Where's the apartment going to be? Is it going to come with a car or not? Is it going to be an electric car? You know, like the whole whatever. And this girl comes from a great family. She has a big dowry. She wants a lot. So they went to Cheskel. They asked him, Rabbi Cheskel Bromsky, Rav Levenstein, they asked him, it's a lot of money. We can't afford it. What should we do? So he asked a very weird question. He says, well, tell me something. Is he self-employed or does he work for somebody? He says, what? He said, well, if he works for somebody, forget it. I said, why? Because when you work for somebody, you rely on your boss to give you a raise. When you're self-employed, you only rely on the Rabbanu Shalom to get you a raise. Right? So he says, somebody that's self-employed, there's something much more pure about his tefillos. Rabbi say this is something that we have to concentrate on. We have to concentrate on believing in the Rabbanu Shalom in all times. Not, please don't take these stories seriously and come up to me later and say, Rav Hartzian, I davened for so-and-so and you were wrong. Lunch was terrible, you know. I want a delicious lunch. Rav Hartzian, you were wrong. Okay. I promise you Hashem moves tefillos to different places. You don't even know. Most of the time, we don't know where the tefillahs are. But sometimes, but do we thank Hashem when something goes good? Do we have any tzak? When the time comes and there's... Sometimes when grandma's sick, the Rabbanu Shalom has his ways and grandma's not going to... She'll die. And you can't be... I thought tefillah worked. No. Famously, just commemorated the Yahrzeit a few weeks ago of the three boys who were murdered at Al-Kiddush Hashem. The terrible story right outside in the area of Gush. Makor Chaim boys. And one of the Rabbanu Shalom, I'm sure, purposely put Mrs. Frankel to be one of the spokesmen for Klal Yisrael. And when Racheli Frankel, who I've had the schus of meeting, went to the Kotel for that amazing tefillah gathering of over 100,000 people, and when she was walking away, a bunch of boys said the following. I think we did it. There's no way. Hashem for sure will release the... Now at that point, Racheli knew that her sons were probably... the boys were probably not alive because they had heard already the phone call where they heard shots. And she looked at them and she says, Hashem shomea tamid et kol hatfilot. He listens to all tefillos. Don't be upset if you didn't. If this specific thing that you want, everybody asked for one specific thing, that the boys should be found and be bari v'shalim. It's not always. She says, but I promise you, they'll never. The answer is never no. It's sometimes I'm moving it somewhere else. For this, it's not. This isn't good for you, right? You're going out with a girl. I don't know if we're allowed to yet. We're in the freezer. We're still in the freezer, right? Just so we're clear here. Not from this camp. I'm not talking. No. Later on in life, you go out with a girl. Right? And it's going so well. You're seeing stars and she's seeing stars and rainbows and everything's great. Magically delicious. It's great. So what do? You should talk to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Shea Perika Tehillim. And then one fine day she comes to you and she says, Shalom Rav. Bye-bye. You say, Hashem, why'd you do this? Why'd you do this to me? And then maybe months later, maybe years later, you find your shidduch. Oh my God! Now I realize it. That girl, this girl, ah, it may take years. You may never know. Rabbi said our parasha teaches us a very important lesson: as the summer is upon us, we have to keep davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's a very difficult time. We daven for the Rabbanu Shalom from Shmiras Anayim. We daven for the Rabbanu Shalom for Hatzlacha and Torah when there's so many Yetzaharas around. It's hard to learn Torah with 24 hours a day. You hear music playing. It's not easy. Your sleep situation, I'm sure, is not the most amazing thing in the world, unless you like mice, right? It's difficult. Daven, talk to Hashem, not just betfila. B'nai Yisrael learned the lesson. Yes, there's gashmius in the world. Gashmius is good sometimes. It has to be combined, but you have to be mekadosh the gashmius. Rabbi say, you're here this year, yes, in the summer, to be kleina olamo b'shas achad, if I may add, but to be kailam olamo of other people. And that's hard sometimes. To sit with a kid, Nebuch, who can't read a word, and you're sitting and it's hot. Do you know the schar you're getting for this? The kid comes in and he says, I just want to talk. And you're like, that's not learning. No, it's not, sir. No. One day he'll talk to you about gashmias, and then he'll become ruchnias. Should be zoicha to get these lessons in Mirtz Hashem, and be zoicha to ma'isim toivim, and be zoicha to have a wonderful and amazing summer.